The Liberals Gun Corner, a proud progeny of the Gun Rights Radio Network, hosted by Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. This podcast is always available at www.liberalsguncorner.com, and you can email us at cowboyt@liberalsguncorner.com. Cowboy T here. Welcome to episode number 34. We just celebrated the 238th birthday of our nation, the United States of America. Far as I'm concerned, even with our faults, still the greatest nation on earth. Something I do every 4th of July. I go to the range for a marksmanship practice session. Yeah, isn't that cool? My range is open on July 4th for a few hours. I do the same thing on Memorial Day and Veterans Day, by the way. I'm at the range on a pretty regular basis anyway, but especially those days. I consider it my patriotic duty to do this. 238 years ago, by the way, on July 4th, 1776, as all Americans should know, we declared independence from Britain. Now, history's already made pretty clear why we did this thing. If you're a citizen of the United States, but you don't know why we did that, well, I'd really recommend you read the Declaration of Independence. It's actually not that long. It's about 2.5 pages, if that. And it describes in pretty vivid detail why the Founding Fathers, brought forth a new nation. Starts out like this. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. Okay, they were Christians, mostly. Well, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Well, that's 18th century speak for the following. If we're going to end our national relationship with our countrymen across the pond and declare independence from them, we need to explain why. Now, here are just a few of those causes for the just-mentioned separation, that is, declaring independence. He, meaning His Majesty's government, including the British Parliament, has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. Well, that doesn't sound very good, at least not to me. You know, the military being superior to the will of civilian authority. Let's go through a few more. He has combined with others, meaning the Parliament and the Prime Minister, to subject us, meaning the colonists, to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, meaning the UK all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, giving his assent, meaning the King gave his approval, to their, the members of Parliament, acts of pretended legislation. Why they call it pretended legislation? No representation. Well, let's take a look at these acts of pretended legislation, folks. Let's see here. Quartering large bodies of armed troops among us. That's called a military state. That's one. Now, here's another. Protecting them, meaning the armed troops, by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states. That would mean that the military's above the law and gets special treatment in court, but the people don't get any of that. Oh, no. Ah, here's another. For imposing taxes on us without our consent. Hey, that's taxation without representation. That's been a sore point going way back, hasn't it? Just ask any resident today of Washington, D.C. Depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury. Well, that'd be the Admiralty courts and other sham trials that were coming back then. Ooh, here's a good one. Transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses. Ooh, hey, we see that today, folks. Ever heard the term extraordinary rendition? Yeah, sounds familiar, doesn't it? See, that's the euphemism they started using to send people overseas to places like Pakistan and other countries where they don't have our laws against torture. Yeah. They started doing that after September the 11th, 2001. They took an uptick of that enhanced interrogation. Ain't much changed over the years, huh? Ah, here's another. Suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. Well, doesn't that sound like the overuse of the Commerce Clause that's been in the news the last several years? Yeah, and how about this willingness of Congress to simply deem bills passed? You've heard about that, I'm sure. And by the way, both Republican and Democrat congressional majorities have done this. Oh, here's one that should definitely get your attention. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. Erected a multitude of new offices. Can we say Department of Homeland Security? Yeah, how about swarms of officers to harass our people? Now, to me, that sounds like the ongoing militarization of our civilian police forces and them leading with the SWAT team more and more. Yeah, we've talked about this before. The police forces are taking on a bully boy, I could beat you to a pulp or even shoot you if I feel like it, sort of attitude. Yeah, remember that cop that punched that Occupy Wall Street woman in the face? Yeah, there wasn't any provocation for you, just wham, hit her. How about the beating of Rodney King? How many other black peoples that happened to ever since, but just didn't get on TV? How many times do we need to hear about SWAT teams busting down people's doors with either no-knock warrants or not even having a warrant? We talked about that last episode, as a matter of fact. Oh, and then pulling triggers and shooting throughout the house. Folks, I'd classify that as harassing our people. This is what the Founding Fathers were talking about way back in the 1770s. These were things that they saw themselves. This was live, you know. Memrex hadn't even been invented yet. They saw the stuff. Well, we're seeing a recurrence of that happening today. That's something we ought to think about, folks. Remember, the reason the framers put the Second Amendment in there wasn't about hunting or sport or any of that. No. It wasn't about going and hunting deer. Rather, it was about maintaining that final defense against tyranny, should it ever be needed. And it is a last resort, not the first, the last. But the Founding Fathers understood why that last, that final resort needs to be there. It's to preserve what we liberals believe in. We are liberals, right? You know, our very description, liberal, refers to our belief in this. It's called liberty. History has shown time and again, including today, that the things you heard about, those causes for separation you just heard about, are a lot less likely to happen if the people can actually fight back. And to do so, you need the same tools that are granted to the armed forces, and that includes the police. Now, do I think every civilian should have, say, nuclear weapons or caches of nerve gas or anthrax or stuff like that? Well, obviously, no. No way. Unlike with a rifle, see, one mistake with, say, nerve gas or a nuke can mean the end of an entire city. But at the same time, we, the people, still need to be able to deter the kind of government tyranny you just heard about. One of those things was this thing called general warrants. Ever heard about those? Well, that goes back to the 1700s again. That basically meant the British authorities could bust into your home at any time and search your home for whatever they felt like, at gunpoint and or bayonet point. Well, again, I'm thinking of today's police precincts leading with SWAT teams and AR-15s or M-16s. So there's got to be a way to keep things like nukes out of people's hands, but still provide for defense against tyranny. And this is why I came to the following belief, which I expressed some time ago. If the police can have it, so should we the people be able to have it. History shows it, folks. And that's really something worth thinking about, especially in light of the NSA's even most recent spying on us the people, like they're doing. And by the way, I learned today, it's not just foreign nationals. It's all over the papers. They're spying on us, the American citizens. It ain't just the foreign nationals, folks. They're hoovering up our data, too. Is that right? Should we be allowing this? No, that's a surveillance state, a police state. So when the antis talk about how they have a problem with what they call military style or assault weapons and how they want them banned, well then, I gotta ask, why are those same antis so desperate to see the police with those same weapons of war on our streets? And that's what we're going to get into here in this segment. We'll see you in just a moment. It's going to get warm. Okay, we're back. Well, seems the antis are all set to try to ban what they call military style, quote unquote military style, firearms for us, but yet they want the police and the military to have them. Well, what they're really talking about, what they really mean is semi-automatic firearms, not full-auto machine guns, such as the AR-15 or the HK-91, or maybe the Remington 1100 or 1187 with a pistol grip. Those are shotguns. Well, wait a sec. I thought the antis considered those weapons of war, though. So wouldn't putting those things in the hands of the police be enabling the thing they hate so much, meaning weapons of war on our streets? Well, let's take a look. There's some antis down in Florida that were saying the following. This is one of their editorials. I quote, "Officers in Miami-Dade can, for the first time, carry assault-type rifles. Deputies with the Broward Sheriff's Office must take a 16-hour training course in the weapons and take yearly qualifications tests. Some deputies have spent up to $1,800 to have specially equipped semi-automatic Colt AR-15s, and they have to be able to justify when they handle one on duty. The Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office and city agencies like Delray Beach have also started training more officers to use the rifles. People shouldn't be opposed to cops having these weapons." Close quote. Oh, really? People shouldn't be opposed to cops having these weapons, eh? But, well, wait a minute. I thought the goal was to get these weapons of war off of our streets. Well, not really, it turns out. Because here's the next sentence. Quote, "What people should oppose strongly is the guy across the street having one." Close quote. Oh, I see. These weapons of war are okay for the police, but not for the guy across the street, eh? Unfortunately, yeah, that's true. They really believe that. Well, here's what the antis have to say about that. There's this fellow named John Pierce. This is after the Aurora, Colorado tragedy in 2012. He was, in his words, talking with a non-gun owner friend of mine, obviously upset, who began to question me about why I supported ownership of, quote, deadly assault weapons, close quote. Even as he continued his extended, impassioned diatribe, I could tell that he was yet another victim of the media's assault weapon disinformation campaign. When he paused, I asked him what he thought an assault weapon actually was. Looking at me as if I were mentally challenged, he said that everyone knows assault weapons are military-style, fully automatic guns capable of emptying a 100-round magazine in 3 seconds. When I told him that fully automatic firearms had been heavily regulated since the National Firearms Act of 1934, he simply stared at me blankly as if unsure what to say. When I went on to point out that, despite public misconceptions, President Clinton's now expired assault weapons ban had nothing to do with fully automatic firearms at all, he sarcastically replied, "What kind of idiot would fall for such a thing?" I felt really bad about my response, but the only thing I could think of to say was, "Apparently, you." It took several minutes with Google to convince him that I was telling the truth, but he still wasn't ready to give up the debate. Grudgingly admitting that I might be right, he thought about it a few seconds and said, "Then I think we should call everything except single-shot guns assault weapons." Thank you, Mr. Pierce, for posting that. So, looks like assault weapon is anything the antis decide they don't like, huh? What? Is it one of those things that's subject to change at their whim? Now anything other than single-shot guns are so-called assault weapons? Unfortunately, yeah, to them, it's true, in too many cases. We talked in a previous episode about the dangers of banning so-called assault weapons. In that episode, I showed you that this really is what the antis mean. Anything they don't like, they label it an assault weapon. They say, oh, it's military style, has no business in the hands of anyone other than the police and military. Well, one of the things we talked about in that episode was a little reminder. All firearms, folks, are military style by definition, because that's what they were originally designed for way back in the day. Every last one, folks. That means your Remington Model 700 or your Winchester Model 70 deer rifle, your Savage Model 110, all those are fundamentally based on the Mauser action designed in Germany for that country's army. Your Winchester lever, your lever gun, your lever action, you know, that cowboy gun that won the West. Yeah, that one too. It means your Smith & Wesson 38 Special revolver, you know, like what the cops used to use up until recently. You know, come to think of it, some police departments in the United States here still use it today. Yeah, even the muskets of the Revolutionary War days. Even those were originally designed for fighting on a battlefield. You see? Every firearm in existence, every last one, is by definition, quote-unquote, military style. So when they say ban military style guns, that's really what they mean. Yeah, I know. Cowboy T's got his tinfoil hat on yet again. Yeah, I can hear you thinking it. But folks, every time you may have thought that about something I'm relating to you, remember, Cowboy T has also been careful to provide evidence for his claims. You know how they used to say about Buddy Rich, the great drummer? Yeah, Mr. Jazz Drummer himself. How he was also Mr. Braggart. You know, the ego the size of a truck. Well, it's true, he was. No doubt. But, as some very wise people also said, if you can back it up, it ain't bragging. Buddy Rich most certainly could back it up. Now, I'm not saying I'm Buddy Rich, far from it. God, I wish. Wish I could play that well. But I am suggesting that I could back up the claim I just made. If so, then, well, maybe it's not so tinfoil after all. The claim is that the antis want to ban any guns that they decide they don't like, which I believe to be any gun at all. And now, let's get to the evidence. 1996, syndicated columnist Charles Krauthammer wrote a piece titled "Disarm the Citizenry, But Not Yet," in which he stated that, and I quote, "In fact, the assault weapons ban will have no significant effect either on the crime rate or on personal security." Nonetheless, it is a good idea. Given the frontier history and individualist ideology of the United States, however, this will not come easily. It certainly cannot be done radically. It'll probably take one, maybe two generations. It might be 50 years before the United States gets to where Britain is today. Passing a law like the assault weapons ban is a symbolic, purely symbolic, move in that direction. Its only real justification is not to reduce crime, but to desensitize the public to the regulation of weapons in preparation for their ultimate confiscation. Close quote. Sound familiar? It should. Sure bears an uncanny resemblance to something that Peter Shields said some years ago. He's over at the National Council to Control Handguns. Here's what he said. Quote, "The first problem is to slow down the increasing number of handguns being produced and sold in this country. The second is to get handguns registered. And the final problem is to make the possession of all handguns and all handgun ammunition, except for the military policemen, licensed security guards, licensed sporting clubs, and licensed gun collectors, totally illegal." Oh, and then there's Josh Sugarman, my buddy pal, over at the so-called Violence Policy Center. Quote, "One tenet of the National Rifle Association's faith has always been that handgun controls do little to stop criminals from obtaining handguns. For once, the NRA is right, and America's leading handgun control organization is wrong. Criminals don't buy guns in gun stores. That's why they're criminals. But it isn't criminals who are killing most of the 20,000 to 22,000 people who die from handguns each year. We are." Close quote. The title of the article where that appears, folks? "The NRA is right, but we still need to ban handguns." Make no mistake, they want gun bans. And it's not just handguns. It's not just what they call assault weapons. It's any guns. Remember how the antis define assault weapon as a military-style gun. That's what we talked about in Episode 11, The Dangers of Banning So-Called Assault Weapons, just over a year ago. They really mean any guns. And now, Josh has gone even further. He's now claiming that especially black men shouldn't have guns. Yeah, he's gone racial. You heard that right. He just went racial. Apparently black men are especially murderers, dangerous people, according to Josh. Wait till you hear this, folks. We're going to take his little piece of bigotry apart, piece by piece, just like we did with Eric Fast and Furious, holders of the presentation to the NAACP a while back, and we're going to examine Josh's little diatribe as soon as we come back from break. Stick around. You think things are warm now? They're going to get real hot here. See you soon. Okay, we're back. And Josh Sugarman just got racial when it came to guns. Apparently, black men are especially murderous, evil beings. Well, I promised you a bit of analysis on his little racist, bigoted piece, and you're going to get it. Here we go. It's called Black Women Face a Greater Risk of Domestic Violence. The high toll gun violence exacts on black males, black males, won't even call us men, is all too well known. Less known is the fact that black women, black males, got it, also face a disproportionate risk of lethal violence. That's what we found in a new study released by my organization, the Violence Policy Center, for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Using data from the FBI's unpublished supplementary homicide report, we found that black women are murdered by men at a rate more than 2.5 times higher than white women. Oh, really? I wonder about his stats. And this is also a slam on black men, which you will see here in just a moment. He goes into it later. Let's continue. In 2011, the most recent year for which such data is available, black females were murdered by males at a rate of 2.61 per 100,000 in single-victim, single-offender incidents. For white women, right there. Black females, males, but white women? Black females, black males, but white women? What, are black people less human than your precious white folks there, Josh? Let's continue. For white women, he says, the rate was 0.99 per 100,000. To understand these numbers, here are some important facts to keep in mind. First, the primary risk of violence does not come from strangers. 94% of black women were murdered by someone they knew, a proportion that is equally high for white women. And the vast majority of homicides of black females, black females, white women, were not related to any other felony crime. Most often, they were killed in the course of an argument. In cases, In the course of an argument, we'll get to that in a moment. In cases where the circumstances could be identified, 87% were not related to the commission of any other felony. If not strangers, then who are the killers? At least half the murders were a result of domestic violence. Among the black female victims who knew their offenders, 52% were wives, common law wives, ex-wives, or girlfriends. Also, here it gets juicy, 93% of the homicides were intra-racial. In other words, Josh, you're saying that black men are doing the killing. Black men. Oh, I'm sorry, black males. I keep forgetting you don't view black men as actually human beings, not compared to whites. Gun violence plays a predominant role in homicides among black women. Well, okay, now he's calling them women again. Guess he remembered. When the murder weapon could be identified, 51% of black female victims were shot and killed with a gun. Within that group, 82% were shot and killed with a handgun. That's why women tempted to buy a gun for their self-protection should know that guns aren't the answer to domestic violence. Wrong! Stop right there. Full stop. If what Josh is saying is true, folks, then that's exactly why black women should have a gun. If these black men in their lives are really so evil, so dangerous, that they'll just get set off by an argument. Oh my God, I'm going to kill you, woman. Well, maybe it's time for Laquita to get her gun, huh? Maybe. She might be alive. He continues. In fact, several studies have found that having a gun in the home actually increases a woman's chance of being murdered. Oh, stop again. I think Kendra St. Clair, a 12-year-old girl who had a gun in the house, matter of fact, she was told by her mother to use that gun when a perp broke into her home. Kendra St. Clair defended herself with a gun. She's alive today because of it. I shudder to think of what the perp would have done to that 12-year-old girl if she hadn't had that gun. But I guess Josh doesn't care about that. He continues, for African Americans, as well as other women, guns are not used to save lives, but to take them. Ah, again, ask Kendra. Ask Kendra's mom. It was her mom's gun that young Kendra used. Josh continues, we should not sit back and accept a society where black women face a higher chance of getting killed, which, of course, he just got through telling you was done by those evil black men who just get set off, you know, at a whim. Women should be aware of resources that are available to help them escape domestic violence situations. Okay, that part's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But how about being able to defend yourself from what you suppose is a physically stronger opponent? The only way you do that is with a gun, Josh. And we simply cannot wait any longer before we pass effective laws to stop our national epidemic of gun violence. Really? Okay, Josh, how about reining in the cops that tend to shoot first nowadays, especially when it comes to black men? How about that, Josh? Oh, maybe you don't care because it doesn't affect people who look like you. Yeah. Okay. Folks, I guess old Josh would rather my dad, a black man, be dead instead of alive today. But hey, it's just a black man, right? You know, what good white person cares about darky boy's life, right? Huh? At least, apparently, if your name's David Duke or Josh Sugarman. Folks, I cannot believe that he would stoop so low as to go racial. There's an old saying. It goes, the quickest way to get the police to your present location is to call them and say, there's a black male with a gun. Well, I guess that's all he's got, though. Stoke fears of the black man with a gun. Now, if it were just Josh, well, I'd just dismiss it as yet another Klansman wannabe who just isn't wearing his white hood today. But it's not just Josh, folks. Unfortunately, it's more. You see, they did that on CNN a few years back, too. Yes, I am answering racially to a racial attack, folks. A black man, a police officer, was accused of murdering his pregnant white girlfriend. Terrible, terrible crime, to be sure. No question. Well, this thing made national news. Well, you know they had to do Shades of O.J. Simpson. You know, they couldn't resist that. Here's how they did it. They had four white women up there on the television talking about the dangers of men with guns to pregnant women. Yeah, apparently men with guns are somehow automatically dangerous to pregnant women now. Oh, these folks, they trotted out all sorts of so-called statistics, which, well, as we know, may or may not be biased. I strongly suspect they are. We all know they're lies, damn lies and statistics, folks. And the antis have been caught lying time and again, cooking the numbers. Well, naturally, they didn't dare say black men with guns on the TV. After all, we're not prejudiced. Oh, no, no, they're supposed to be progressive and all. But they sure did keep showing this black man on the TV and talking in the context of this black man they were showing on the TV. You know, to paint a picture in your mind. Here's the audio.
Another big risk factor we find is men who are gun owners as being particularly dangerous in these cases.
And we have some statistics now that I'd like to put up on the screen, Pat, for you to analyze. And this looks at how pregnant women are killed. And as Jacqueline just said, firearms right at the top of the list. Since that is the case, are most of these crimes in some way linked to premeditation? Got to go out and buy a gun if you don't have one already.
I would say not necessarily in the way we would think. I mean, most psychopaths, when they're manipulating people, they're always premeditating what they like and what they don't like. So it's not something they necessarily do way ahead of time. But before that actual event happens, they've probably gone through it in their minds. In other words, you don't do something you've never thought about. But psychopaths are also fascinated by weapons. I mean, they like the power and control that come with weapons. So if you're hooking up with a guy who's really into a big gun collection or really into those ninja knives, it's a big red flag. He's not doing yoga. You know, this is a guy who's not looking for the peaceful way out. He's looking for the power and control he gets. And if he loses it with you and he loses it in his life, he may just eliminate you to get that power and control back.
You all have done a fascinating job of putting all of these together. Jacqueline Campbell, Dr. Yale.
Now that you've heard that, I'm going to tell you something. A few things those four white women didn't want you to hear. Turns out, unfortunately, yes, the dirtbag did kill her. Yeah, he committed murder. He's a scumbucket, and he ought to rot in jail for the rest of his life. Personally, I hope he got given to Bubba. But see, here's the thing. While he committed murder, he didn't do it with a gun. No. Matter of fact, his gun didn't have anything to do with it. He did it with his hands. According to the coroner, he choked her to death. So, guns had nothing to do with it. That's point number one they didn't tell you. Here's point number two that they didn't tell you. Sure, this black man had a gun in this house. But why did he in the first place? Because, folks, turns out he was a cop. Yeah, this dude was an active police officer. Whoa, whoa, whoa there. What was it the aunties were saying? Only the police and military need guns in our society? Well, how'd that work out? A cop murders his pregnant girlfriend, not with his gun, no, but rather by choking her to death with his hands. But what about all that highly trained, you know, professional, extensive training that cops generally undergo? Oh, aren't they the good guys? Most of the time, yes. But I would remind you that one officer, Kevin Flanagan, shot and killed an innocent family man, one Julian Alexander, in cold blood. In this case, Officer Flanagan was white and Julian Alexander was black. Where was the continued CNN coverage that time? Oh, that's right. It wasn't, was it? Well, those four white women didn't bother talking about men with guns then. Oh, no, 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 no. They didn't plaster Officer Flanagan's face on the TV that time. Oh, no. Basically, they had the folks over at CNN and NBC and all those other folks who hate the Second Amendment, they had to be forced to do coverage when Oscar Grant was murdered, surrounded by four white cops there in Oakland, California. They had to be forced to do so because of the massive outcry. And even then, Johannes Mezerle, one of those cops, was the only one charged. He was the fall guy, see? And even then, he got off light compared to what you and I would have had to face as a sentence if we had committed such a heinous act. The point to all this is not to say that cops are bad. No. Most are actually pretty darn good. I know several. I've said it before. But rather, it's to point out the disparate news coverage on CNN, NBC, all that, when it's a black person versus when it's a white person. Oh, and especially if the aunties think they can make a tie-in with a gun somehow. See, to them, black men with guns, even when they're cops, apparently, are automatically dangerous. But make that cop white, and apparently it's just fine with them. That's what Josh Sugarman's talking about during his attack on black men. But as you see, he ain't the only one. Well, what are we going to do about that? I mean, what's Cowboy T going on about all this for? Here's why Cowboy T is going on about this. How about we take a look at what Dr. Phil, yep, old Dr. Phil McGraw, would call an authentically accurate alternative? How about an actual black man with a gun? Yeah, can we do that? Yeah, as one black man said, yes, we can. And indeed, yes, we will. Just as soon as we get back. You're about to hear some wisdom from, yes, brother man with a gun. Stick around. All right, we're back. Thanks for sticking around this long. We've got a lot to present here in this podcast episode. Well, I promised you an authentically accurate alternative to Josh Sugarman's anti-black diatribe, which you just heard. And I can think of nothing more authentic than an actual black person to do that. His name is Ken Blanchard. And he is the famous black man with a gun. Yeah, I got a copy of his book here in my hand. It's entitled Black Man with a Gun. This is thanks to one of my friends in the Virginia Citizens Defense League for giving it to me. I've read it from cover to cover, and you should too. There's a lot in here that you ought to read. Now, I've seen Ken Blanchard before. I've also heard him speak. He is emphatically not, as Senator Harry Reid would say, a light-skinned African-American with no Negro dialect unless he wanted to have one. Yeah. Rather, Ken Blanchard most definitely is a black man, though. He's also a former, well, there are no former Marines, okay? So we'll just say he's a formerly active Marine. Yeah. Once a Marine, always a Marine, you know? You know what else he is? He's a former federal police officer. Yeah. Ken Blanchard is a cop. Ultimately made the rank of lieutenant. Remember those black women that Josh Sugarman was talking his racist nonsense toward? Well, Mr. Blanchard, an actual black man, has some words for those same black women. Here they are. A letter to my sisters. African American woman, you alone have been responsible for the survival of our race. Your intelligence, willpower, and inner strengths have been underestimated by all who have enslaved or sought to destroy our people. Because of this, you have been able to protect your children, shield them from life's atrocities, and teach us all to spiritually survive. Even now, there are those who still seek to weaken, control, and destroy your children. Guns have been falsely blamed as the root of all evil. The word gun is an emotional hot button that evokes an emotional response and awakens your maternal instincts to once again save your people. In street terms, you're being played. I appeal to your intelligence to learn all you can about the issue of firearms. Just like a new poker player, savvy politicians and groups who understand what makes you spiritually unique are manipulating you. Without the facts, however, you will unknowingly contribute for the first time to the destruction of our people. Your strong maternal instincts have gotten us through war, famine, disease, and slavery. But proof you've been targeted for manipulation is that gun control groups use your tears and your suffering as sound bites in commercials and in public hearings. As the unofficial leaders in our homes, teach your sons and daughters about safety and the reality of firearms. As grandmothers, remind your family about the struggle many of our people have forgotten. The violence in our communities is a result of poverty, unemployment, drug and alcohol abuse, and the loss of the tight family structure. Aside from educating your children, you're going to have to learn to survive in a time when crime is getting out of hand. You have become the target of criminal predators, and you do not deserve to be a victim. Though our young people are using guns as the tools of their destruction, firearms are necessary. You are being used to disarm African Americans by allowing the increase of senseless and repetitive laws. By doing so, you allow the government, through slicker means, to accomplish something they've been trying to do since they brought our ancestors here in chains in the 1600s. Sisters, take us forward, not backwards. You do not drown by falling in water. You only drown if you stay there and refuse to swim. Ken Blanchard wrote that in 1995, and I couldn't agree more with Mr. Blanchard. Black women are indeed being played. They're being played by people who have an agenda of keeping brown folks disarmed. Don't believe me? Well, once again, some wisdom from an actual black man with a gun. All efforts to repress and control our people throughout the centuries have been forced by racist and elitist beliefs. Many of the weapons on the market today, such as the street sweeper type shotgun, the British Enfield rifle, and others, were originally designed specifically to kill Africans in South Africa. As proof of my comment about racism, the strictest gun laws are in cities that have the highest concentration of people of color. Of course, while many gun control advocates will state that these new laws are for the safety of everyone, the restrictions affect only a particular class of people. We have been collectively conditioned to think this way. Eddie Murphy's character in the movie 48 Hours said, "I'm your worst nightmare. I'm a nigger with a badge." The real fear is that the nigger had a gun. If a European American has a gun, you'd call him cowboy, police officer, or assume he was a soldier, wouldn't you? This negative image of the black man is believable. The dreaded gangster rapper image is big business. Is this a conspiracy? No. It's nothing personal, it's just business. I get flack sometimes from black people as well. My black man with a gun title is too black for them as well. It's okay. I know where they're coming from. Business sells gold teeth, gaudy car accessories, boom boxes, tennis shoes, t-shirts, stocking caps, and jewelry in ways that specifically target our people as a viable market. We are allowed to destroy ourselves because this negative image is profitable. In one shot, this is far more successful than any full-scale government propaganda machine in undermining all the accomplishments of our civil rights heroes of the 60s. Doesn't stop there either. White suburbia buys anti-carjacking alarms, home security systems, and guns. Yes, I said guns. The only people who have illegally owned firearms in their homes are the African-American citizens. This is proof positive that we have bought the lie, hook, line, and sinker. The people that want us unarmed and helpless do not have a hard time convincing us. They utilize the magazines that our mothers read. Their media attack capitalizes on the fears and protective instincts of our black women. In no time, they have disarmed black America. They have successfully caused us to believe it is wrong to own a gun, to alienate our children, to sell them out as a lost generation, and encouraged us to administer mind-controlling drugs to them. Worst of all, we have young men looking forward to going to prison as if it was the University of Africa America. Don't embrace the anti-gun rhetoric that is written in Ann Landers' columns, the Washington Post, and broadcast on the television. Racially motivated violence is not the only threat to which blacks are more vulnerable. An African American has at least a 40% greater chance of being burgled and a 100% greater chance of being robbed than a white person. They are exposed to more crime and given less protection by the police. So that awful gun that is so politically incorrect today could probably save the life of a member of your family or yourself. Don't wait for the police. They don't have to protect you. When you hear that bump in the night or see that shadow that doesn't belong in your room, Leroy, get your gun. And this is the land of the free, home of the brave, whose birthday we just got through celebrating, huh? Well, apparently if your name is David Gregory, it is. You know, the NBC guy who illegally brought that 30-round magazine into Washington, D.C. against police advice and got off scot-free. Yeah, the prosecutor's office decided not to press charges against Mr. Gregory. Now, imagine if Mr. Blanchard had done the same thing. Seriously, imagine that. If Ken Blanchard, the black man with a gun, had done the very same thing and broadcast it on TV just like David Gregory did. I think we all know what would have happened to Mr. Blanchard. Folks, the Founding Fathers made it very clear. The liberty that we have here in this country is secured for us only because we currently have the physical means to defend it. Remember the Battle of Athens, Tennessee. Remember the Deacons for Defense and Justice. These were black people who were armed to the teeth to make sure the black protesters weren't just slaughtered wholesale by the Ku Klux Klan back in the 1960s. This was during the heyday of the Civil Rights period. They made it very clear, see, that they were willing to shoot back. The attacks on the Klan? Well, they dropped big time. Funny how that worked out, isn't it? Those dangerous black men that Josh Sugarman talks about were defending themselves from people who look just like Josh himself. How ironic. And how he wants to tell black women that black people, men or women, shouldn't be armed. Folks, the expression horse hockey comes to mind here. Disarm people generally, and especially black people, and everything will be just fine. Everything will be all right. So, apparently, say the aunties. Well, my dad's still very much alive. He's a black man, And given his experience, I think he would beg to differ with the aunties. So for all those who cry out, Sandy Hook, Sandy Hook, I say, my dad, my dad. And at least a million others like him in this country every year. The right to defend yourself. The right to your constitutional rights. Now, there's some we're celebrating. That's a point of liberty that's really worth celebrating, folks, especially at this time of the year. Think about it, folks. This is Cowboy T signing off. Until next time. Till then, safe shooting. Practice often. Always review the rules of firearm safety. And thanks for listening.